We call, that I know of. Is it Jeff or Jill?
Not that I'm aware of.
Nope.
I was almost gonna do that for tonight, too.
You should've had the stash.
Because we're there.
Rock it for a day.
We'll call the meeting door. I have to put up a couple signs into this so they can't follow me. I have to do it in the dark. So this is our, well, let's see, we'll do the roll call. So Supervisor Gilmore and Supervisor Wendt both are not in attendance. We have both of the governance group. The rest of us are here. And this is going to be the last meeting of this group. The new committee, who knows how it will be set up, but there's a couple of words that I want to say. First, I did it privately with Matt, but I want to publicly congratulate Matt on the birth of his baby boy on St. Patrick's Day. That's beautiful.
Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's a feat. That's all. But this committee, a couple of things I want to say. One thing is, quite a transition here in the last 2 years. So this committee's been together for two. With Clement coming on and Matt getting into his full run here, and the smooth transition that we've had, Clement, with you. And Matt, I know you already had some time in before this, but it's with the size of some of the projects that this committee, I say it, and when I sit and actually think about it, it's the busiest committee the county has with the arms that we put around parks, highways, golf, and with facilities. Now, just the size of the projects and the amount of things that you as a staff do are amazing. I won't list them all, but just Brookside to a lot of people would be an overwhelming large project, and how smoothly Ray and the rest of you handled that. And this committee can be very proud to have that on time, on budget. And golf courses, again, another 2 years of profitability and doing well under horrible conditions, you know, this past year. The beer garden, I mean, that might not be a big thing, but that was a huge thing for the county. It was done this past year, and what a quality of life thing that it brought, successful. And then piggybacking on that, the celebration that Matt put together for the anniversary for the partners. So another large, the public safety building, all the work, the downtown things that Ray has done, and the facility guys with the generator and everything that I report on that people get bored hearing me report on. But I mean, there's a whole lot of activity here. And now we've got the largest highway project we've ever had with the engineering and things that Clemens were working on with Highway F. I believe it's going to be the largest we've ever had. So there's a whole lot that this committee's accomplished. And I thank Kim Bruning for putting together a real diverse group of county board supervisors. I think it's worked quite well. So I want to thank everyone, really, for what we've done here the last couple of years. I know the majority of us will hopefully be here, but I'm not sure how the committee will be set up. But I just wanted to thank everyone publicly before we move on. So any supervisors? You, the governance? And I'm sorry I didn't mention you guys. We really appreciated your input. Very professional, very well done. But you'll still be here next month. Some of us might not. So we'll move on to citizens' comments, if there's any citizens that wish to speak. And I see none. We'll start with Mr. Collins. Parks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first thing in front of you is a resolution authorizing Director of Parks to apply for grant funding from the DNR, which will be used to make trail improvements in Petrifying Springs Park. So this is our annual stewardship grant request. Typically, it's been for KD Park, but this time we feel strongly that Petrifying Springs Park would be a great candidate for trail rehabilitation, especially on top of the work that's being done along the Pike River. One thing that we need to be conscientious of as we start to restore the Pike River is making sure people stay off of the restored areas, and that would be beneficial to restore the trails and rehabilitate those to keep people where they should along the river's edge. So this grant proposal will work in tandem with the work that we're doing along the Pike River, and the total estimated cost is $320,000, which half, $160,000, would be Kenosha County match, and the funds to complete the project are included in the county budget. So we're just seeking approval authorization to apply for this grant.
Any questions? Any discussion? If not, would anybody like to?
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Grady.
Second.
Then by Supervisor Franco. To the governor.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved.
Excellent.
Carried.
And then for division reports, does everyone have a copy that I sent around? If so, updates on park projects. First item is the Kemper Center Lakefront Studios. The third and fourth project is almost complete. They're moving along as scheduled. Just a few odds and ends to handle this month, but otherwise it should be done by the end of April. So minor hardware, plumbing fixtures, paint touch-up, and then the only caveat would be running new electric from on-site, but they have to go underground and move it over to the Lakefront Studios. So they have to wait for the ground to thaw up. So that's going to be a little bit weather pending. The next 2 weeks of April look a little iffy. So that might be the only thing that does not happen within April, but that's only because we have to wait for that frost to get out of the ground. Other than that, Kemper sidewalk replacements. We're still moving forward with removing 60 sidewalk slabs, working in conjunction with the city to go out to bid. I did touch base with the city, so we are keeping in the loop on them. And they are going to be bidding this month, and they plan for our section to be done May or June. So we did get it.
Ooh, you're in front of the line. That's fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was happy to hear that, and I hope it actually happens.
Stay on top of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another update for the Pike River restoration. The bids are out, and because we've received a large grant, they have to be out for a month, so they are due on May 7th. We do have a mandatory pre-bid meeting on April 16th, and then the anticipated start of that project will be June of this year. Next item is the Pets JR parking lot. Just an update that we should be receiving those bids back on the 5th, so coming up shortly this week. A new item, well actually an ongoing item, but an update on that is our Petrifying Springs Wi-Fi. This is something that we've been working on for the last few years now, and we found out working with our IT division and consultants that fiber optics is the best solution in order to bring Wi-Fi throughout all of Petrifying Springs Park and energize Wi-Fi throughout all of our pavilions. So that'll be a little bit of a better solution than just going over air with broadcasting the Wi-Fi in these satellite hubs per se. So that work will be commencing in May in order to trench fiber all the way through Pets. And then with that, for safety security, we are going to be installing security cameras within the parking lot areas of Petrifying Springs Park too. Next thing on the list is Silver Lake Well. That was approved through finance last month. So CTW is set to begin the actual drilling of that well up by Shelter B over at Silver Lake Pavilion this month. And we already were awarded the necessary permits through the DNR. So that one's basically good to go. Park roof replacement and repairs. We did get the bids back and they were pretty competitive. Kasich Roofing, again, was awarded both of these projects. There's the Kemper Center, we have 6 roof replacements and 14 repairs, and you can see quite the substantial difference between the two. Carlson was the only other bidder on that one for $137,000, where Kasich was $63,900. And then for the additional one with the parks, not so much of a difference, but they were again lower at $26,900 versus $38,733. Then the new activity guides are actually out, so I can pass the stack this way, pass the stack that way. And I actually have a large box right behind me too, so feel free for anyone, supervisors, managers, whoever else would like some. More than happy to distribute those or take whatever you need. And if you run out, you always can give me a call or shoot me an email. We'll get some more out to you. And then last but not least, upcoming events. We got on April 8th, a canine cross championship. For those that don't know what that is, basically you hook a dog to yourself and run as fast as the dog, or try to. So I will be participating with that, although I do have a 7-pound dog, so probably won't work out anyway. And then we just finished up the flyer for the picnic in the park, so I attached that. So any help publicizing that through your constituent base would always be appreciated too, to make sure that's a successful event, just like our 90th anniversary event was. And that is all I have.
Very good.
Just a few things on the list to go over, Matt. When it does come time to do the Number 7 Lakefront Studios, who will be the point person handling the leasing? Who will be the contact person?
That would be directly through Kemper Center.
Okay. Kemper Center, and
yes.
Is there one particular person that's going to be designated, or that has to be attributed?
That has to be determined. I'm guessing whoever the new executive director will be, that will be their primary.
I'm getting some interest in that. And
good.
It's a little bit early. I'm telling people don't, you know, line up at this point because there's still infrastructure things to do. But
it's never too early.
As the time grows clear, if you want to correspond with me by email, to what your other person is.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Gary Gronke would be more than happy to sign people
Gary,
up.
I'll ask him a question and I'll get a 7-minute answer.
You can always follow through me then.
That means he's involved, he's doing what is appropriate. So
absolutely.
And the security cameras at Pat's parking lot, and the parking lot is pretty directly adjacent to the dog park there, very close. Do you envision on having some type of video presence at the dog park that could...
Within the dog park itself?
Well, just adjacent to the parking lot area and the dog park. Is that in the plans, or is it?
I don't think the actual dog park. They're going to be focusing more on the parking lots and then ingress, egress. So if there is, heaven forbid, something bad that happens within the park, we can get license plate recognition, and then whoever was doing whatever they were doing, we'd be able to spot them within the parking lot areas only.
Because that could be a potential area, not necessarily the animals are going to act up, but sometimes the owners can be more touchy than the pets themselves, so just food for thought on that.
Okay.
And then the last thing on the Kemper, you've got the awarded vendor for the roofing here. That says 6 areas of roof replacement and 14 repairs is included in that $63,000 bid.
Correct.
Can you just give us some details? Is that like spread across the entire Kemper?
Yes, there is, I think, 59 roofs total. And back in 2015, Industrial Roofing Services did a complete survey. So this basically follows that list of the necessary roofs that they're at the end of their expected useful life. And with that, we requested a maintenance plan for the ones to elongate the ones that necessarily don't need a total removal job, but in order to expand upon the useful life of those as well. So it basically goes within that cycle of those roofs. Are their time is up.
And this is just Kemper. There's no Anderson on here.
No Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else? Yes, Supervisor Mess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So instead of calling it the 91st anniversary, we're going to go with Picnic in the Parks. That's what we're going to be doing for the next couple of years.
Good question with that one. We're actually going back 30 years to the first original Picnic in the Parks. So this happened 30 years ago to the year that the County Executive John Collins actually created this event 30 years ago. And then it had a little bit of a hiatus. And then we're basically bringing it back because kind of the success of the 90th anniversary, that people wanted to do something within the park. So kind of took along that tagline of something old and making it new again.
I love the creativity. Keep it up.
Thank you.
back to the Kemper roof replacement. Every time I see this, I just, the antenna goes up. Carlson Roofing's bid of $138,000 versus Cashock of $64,000. I mean, that's a big difference. So the question I always ask when I see something that big, especially if there's only two people involved, is did everybody understand what they're bidding on? Mm-hmm. They all got the same information. I presume we shared with them the analysis that was done, and so I don't have to worry about, you know, somebody coming back and going, oh yeah, boy, I bid that wrong. Sorry.
So, referring back to Industrial Roofing Services, not only did they do our complete survey, but they actually do our specs. Mm-hmm. So when we do a bid package, their specs are included. So anyone that would be able to open up those bidding documents see the same thing. So it's apples to apples, no matter which company is bidding on.
So
that.
If somebody made a mistake, that's their problem.
And historically, with a lot of our public works projects, Kasich has been the lowest bid, and they've been doing quality jobs because we inspected through Industrial Roofing Services. Mm-hmm. So they have their engineer team not only inspected afterwards, but during the whole entire process too. So someone like myself that might not be a roofing, you know, guru, we make sure that we have that consultant on site, that they make sure that they're following the specs to our expectation as the owner.
Where's Cashock from?
Milwaukee.
Cool. Thank you.
And we do have a history with Cashock.
I was going to add that, yeah, the Cashock, we've got good experience, and we rate them based on our experience, either from Frank's projects or other projects. Kasich would probably get an A rating from us, whereas Carlson has done roofs for us, too, some at Kemper and some other facilities. We'd probably rate them at a B. We wouldn't, they're not, you know, definitely good enough to be on the bid list yet. We want them there, but they're not an A-level contractor as far as what we've seen. So when we saw the numbers come in, we know that Kasich has seen, they know our specs because IRS has been doing them, and they've bid on successfully, I think, on four other roofs and done a good job. So if it wasn't that case, we probably would have the same reaction you had, but we feel pretty comfortable. Those guys know what we expect, and they know what they're doing, whereas Carlson might have taken a flyer. They might just be busy.
Right.
Might be booked up.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm going to bid this really high because I don't want it. And if you're going to pay me, well, then fine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super. Thank you.
Love it.
No. He answered the question.
Yeah. Anything else for Matt? Right.
I was just going to add one thing, Mr. Chairman. Wendy appropriately elbowed me in the ribs that we should make sure we cover approval of minutes from the last meeting.
Nah.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. Does everybody have the minutes from the last video? Mm-hmm. I guess they move to approve. Seconded by Supervisor O'Day, moved by Supervisor Brady. You the governor? Committee?
Aye.
Now we're back. So now we'll go on to golf.
Now, the golf courses got open on March 17th. We opened the greens on St. Paddy's Day, our goal every year, so that was a good thing. It was great to be able to open with cart traffic. We have the continuous cart pass now, and we were able to allow carts, and so we actually ahead on carts so far this year, so cart rentals. We generated 240 rounds in the first weekend. Saturday, that 17th wasn't much, but Sunday we had over 200 rounds alone that day. So the Red Pine and the back nine of Petrifying Springs opened on the 24th, and that's plenty of golf for this kind of weather. So we have those holes open. The White Still is not open, but the range is open also at Brightondale too. So this is one of the first years that we were able to open the range this early, so we did some drainage work there, but mostly it's just the weather that helped us out with that dry land so that we can hit range balls. We attended the Milwaukee Golf Show March 16th through the 18th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The first 3 hours were really good. We gave out 4,000 coupons at the show, but the rest of the days we had 3, 4, 5 hours of you know, very slow periods that weekend, that same weekend that we opened, because that Sunday was very nice, a lot of people out playing. We did have some membership and outing inquiries, so we did get some, at least two guys signing up for goal passes from that. And I think it's a great venue for our advertising. It's definitely worthwhile still going to the two golf shows, Chicago and Milwaukee. So we'll plan on doing that next year. We're working with Golf Now Plus. It's a new thing for us. We've had our websites, our POS, and our T-sheet through Golf Now. We also advertise with Golf Now, but Golf Now Plus is now our digital marketing and social media and branding help. It's a Golf Now is an NBC company, and they're bringing their expertise to us to help get all of our branding and social media marketing together. And I think it's really going to help out with the quality of our email blast, with you know, our branding, you know, really making a splash on social media that we haven't had in the past. So I think it's a good move for us. We're still going to work with the Kenosha News and the Racine Journal Times, and we're trying to get our biggest blitz of the year out currently with our wanting new outings for the year, wanting more season pass holders, and just advertising spring rates and golf clubs sales. We're going to be having demo days starting, I believe it's April 21st, every Saturday for four Saturdays in a row. We'll have Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Tour Edge. We'll have four separate demo days. So we're really looking forward to having those demo days and helping us, you know, generate some sales for that. My biggest challenge right now is employee hiring, training. You know, it's we went through two rounds of interviewing. We've never interviewed, you know, before this week in any of my past seasons, and we've already went through two rounds. And you know, it's we're putting all of our efforts into it, and we've had a couple of successful hires. Probably hired 8 new employees so far, but it's not everything that we need, and so it's still ongoing and difficult to find the quality employee that we were looking for. So that's what's happening.
Yes, sir, Bill.
Do we have our food and beverage manager back again?
Kim Lutkin is at Petrifying Springs, and Scott Driscoll, I think this is his 9th year at Brightondale.
Any substantive change in food and bev between the two courses this year?
We're pretty much going to go back with the same products. We feel that we have a very diverse offering of beverages, and Kim really brought a lot of diversity to our menu, our food offerings at Petrifying Springs. I mean, if you guys haven't been able to stop into the golf course for lunch or dinner sometime, I mean, I encourage you to do that. I know John was there a lot for the fish fry when we had that, but you know, we have tremendous food. I mean, I don't get this from nothing. So yeah, it's really good.
You said fish fry. You gonna go back to that at all?
No, we're not gonna.
We're not gonna try to repeat it.
We really need to redesign the kitchen at Petrifying Springs to be able to, you know, accommodate something like that. Our fryers went out. We're down to one fryer now, and we've got a new fryer, but it just doesn't set up, and that's just not our business model at this time. No, sorry.
There's a lot of people who go there that don't golf. But just for the ambiance of the court.
I'm hoping we get to draw them for the rest of our menu too.
All of that. So anything else for Dan? If not, we will move on to Mike.
Starting with the Focus on Energy spreadsheet, just a couple movements there. The project at KCC, upgrading the interior lighting for the warm and cold storage, is complete. The other thing to change is at KCDC, upgrading the exterior lighting LED project It's kicking off. We're going to target it for about May 7th starting. Take about 3 months to do. We just received 6 pallets of fixtures, so we're ready to roll on that one.
So, Mike, I do have a question there. Because sure. I met Ray and I both saw that, and we go, gee, that's for real, an annual savings.
Yeah. I'm surprised nobody said nothing before this on that.
Well,
it's very significant.
Yeah,
it's a really good example.
So
of
what did we? What kind of graph did we have in there before this?
Here's what we had. We had 400 watt fixtures, and they were metal halides, so they're terrible energy users. We went to LED lights that are 124 watts, and we get more light out of them. So
this
it's
is
huge,
that's
huge
that's amazing.
It is.
I mean, you've had others that jumped out at me, but
yeah, some of them do jump out, but when they're like that with the 400 watts, they're especially noticeable.
There's another one on here too. Well, I mean, some of these savings are, again, as I said at the beginning of this meeting, some of the things that you've accomplished here have been outstanding. That's ridiculous. So, excuse me, go ahead.
That's why we're pushing for the LEDs. So that completes this list, very simple. The ongoing project list, I got 3 things. At KCDC, we are replacing the UPSs. The project kind of stretched out a little bit, but now it's completed, and it was done on March 19th. So that one will be off the list next month. The second project is the parking ramp waterproofing project. We're trying to get that kicked off, but basically bids were open on March 13th. With 7 contractors turning bids ranging from $109,000 to $211,000, pretty good range. Low bidder was a company called Ram Construction out of Blaine, Minnesota. We checked out all the references, they were awarded the contract, and right now we're waiting for submittals to be turned in so we can determine a work schedule. Anything on that? Good. The new project I've added is the pretrial body scanner. That's a full body scanner. It's being added to pretrial facility in the booking area. It's a Sheriff's Department funded project, and facilities is kind of keep an eye on things just to protect our facility. Project basically modifies the booking area to accommodate the scanner, improve booking efficiencies, and safety for the COs. 3 contractors bid on the work. Camozzi was a low bidder. It's a real good one for us. At $53,000, and right now we're waiting for that construction schedule. So just to explain what that one really does to help them out, the main thing is when a felon comes in, they can do a body search or a cavity search. They don't like doing them, but they're allowed to do them on the felon, so now they don't have to, and they can run through the scanner. Anybody else with a lesser crime, they can't do a cavity search. That's not allowed. So what happens is they frisk, they pat down, they do the best they can, but sometimes things get brought in and they get upstairs in the jail. So the only rule there with a lesser crime is no cavity search, but they're allowed to do a body scan. So now they can stop that all from coming in and just improve the safety so much more.
And of course the word will get out on that will be a solid
probably.
Prevention.
Probably, you would think so.
Just a comment on the energy team. Not only are the savings with the LEDs noteworthy, when we look at this list, are virtually all of these done in-house by our electrician?
There's a column on the spreadsheet that says owner or contractor. Mm-hmm. It's just past the status column, and they're all marked with owner for O and C for contractor. Roughly looking at it, it's probably a 50-50 thing. Okay. I'd like to think it's a little bit slightly more for us in-house. But a lot of these, if they're not real complicated projects, where our HVAC specialist can handle it himself, he'll do it. The electrician will do it. They'll just plug away at them in between emergencies and calls from other buildings that they have to take. So, but whenever we can, we do.
That's good. I mean, it's a cost savings with them. Done in-house.
Oh, yes.
You got readily available as opposed to trying to get a contractor to come in for some short-term thing. So again, I think that speaks well of the whole management side. So.
Yeah, we're lucky to have those 2 guys.
Thank you.
Anything else for Mike? If Now we'll move on to projects with facility with Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first project, public safety building addition, second floor project. The medical examiner began moving into the old fleet maintenance area on the west side of the PSB. They started moving in on March 20th. They've been slowly, you know, moving over their operations. They were, as far as the office part, they're operational really on the 20th. But they'll be bringing over the things from the hospital, things that they had there, into the new coolers and everything. So that should be completed essentially by this week. So that was one of the last major portions of the project. We've got a few smaller pieces of the project to complete, converting the old ELC to workout room. We have to make a new caged area for gas-containing evidence, punch list, things like that. But really, we're looking at the end of this project, and it was, as you were saying, a big project. It was almost, $7.6 million. A lot of stages, a lot of various stages. So it was. Any questions? Oh.
I was going to add something too. I was in the EOC, newly remodeled EOC, and I'm still hoping we can get everybody up for a tour of a number of these facilities. But I was in there for a meeting 2 weeks ago, and there was about 50 of us in the meeting. Not an emergency meeting, but it was to go over some public safety communication stuff. So there was agencies from across the county that were in there. The guy that came in to do a presentation literally had about 3 minutes of orientation to how to use the system. And it's a nice system, but it's not over the top crazy. It's not like the set of 24 that Kiefer Sutherland had to deal with. It wasn't that kind of, but there's adequate screens. There's four screens in the main wall, and those can have four different pictures or one large picture all integrated. And literally, with about 3 minutes of orientation, this guy plugged in his computer and had his whole thing just running just like that. So in terms of the simplicity of what could otherwise be a very complicated thing, there's a lot of places where there's a guy that does nothing but run that for the EOC or the cops when they're up there. Anybody can jump on this thing and run it. And so it's a testament to the design being really simple. And Frank, they set the target the right way, and the AV people that we had do it were a new group. We hadn't worked with them before. Our IT group actually has used another company for most of their needs, and they saw what these guys did, and now they want to use them for stuff. They were just a top drawer. The guys that spec'd it out were out of Tulsa, and then the place that actually did the work is out of
Appleton.
Appleton, and it's a thing of beauty because it works so well. And that EOCs are one of those things you don't think about until you need them. And I feel good that ours is going to be one of those ones that when we do need it, something that's going to be very user-friendly and very effective in helping to manage any of the emergency events that may occur. It really turned out nice. So it's kind of, to me, it's a big deal because you read about these sometimes where people do them. Municipalities do them, and they struggle for months, sometimes years, to get them to work the way they want them to work. So it's good.
Following up exactly on what Ray was saying, it was two parts that, because we had to shut down the old EOC and have the new EOC up and running. So it was critical that they weren't debugging all kinds of stuff for months on end, which we've heard horror stories about from other places. That in case something were to happen shortly after we switched over, that it was operational. And with this top-notch people we had, there was another thing. As I want to give credit to Ray, his vision for the ELC was 99% of the time there's not going to be an emergency, so we can't have this big empty space that has a lot of money and technology unused. And his vision was, it needs to be for big scale meetings, orientations, training, all of these different criteria that we put into the design aspect of it with our consultant. And just I'm up there frequently because I'm in all over the building with this, and the SWAT team was in there using all of that technology and how they were going to, you know, go into a building or a house that was they were really worried about. And so they were using it to plan their raid, and then they had the sheriffs from Walworth County, Racine, and this sheriff doing, and that sheriff was really impressed with the way it was very flexible. And then they had people, they had all of the sheriff and hierarchy in there for training on all the new stuff. So it's easily switches from one thing to another, very flexible, very usable. So it was being used 4 out of 5 days a week. That particular week. So anyway, just want to lift that. Any other questions?
Where is the new DOC?
It is on the second floor of the new addition of the public safety building.
And the old DOC, which is the basement, that is now slated for what?
It's being converted into a workout room. They had a small workout room in back of the firing range that was really, everything was piled on top of each other. So we needed that room to expand the firing range, and so that was going to disappear. So the ELC was a little bigger room, and it was going to be empty. So that will become a new workout room.
Very well, thank you.
If no other questions, public safety building and pretrial roof replacements. This follows just like we did in the highway department here and then the office and shop areas. We had 12 potential bidders show up. We got 4 bids submitted. The low bid was about the $420,000 range. It was from MMM Schrantz Roofing out of Milwaukee, and Mike had a great experience with them at the job center. How many years ago now?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, but they had a great experience with them, and our consultant knows them, so we're looking forward to it. But again, our consultant had estimated back when they looked at everything that would be about $600,000 project. So bidding it early, excellent specs that we kept tuning, continuous improvement for this job. And it really paid off. So they're looking to start that project. The PSB roof, the old original PSB, that roof on May 7th. They should be switching over to the pretrial roof about June 4th. These are preliminary dates right now. We'll be able to dial them in a little better by the next meeting. And then we're looking to wrap up things by July 4th. If no other questions, Anderson House preservation project. If you remember, we were looking at restoring the entire outside roof, walls, windows, things like that, and looking at the HVAC system on the inside. We're finalizing the contract with the architect and roughing out a project schedule.
The front door handle. Is that part of it?
If you want it to be, we can make it.
It needs to be.
It is? Okay, we can take care of that. Okay.
Some old guy at Pringle told me the door handle is shot and it needs to be replaced. And I told
him. That might blow the budget.
But then I found out that the door handle is like $700.
Oh, it might go to budget.
Right?
All right. But anyway, when I was there, I told him it was getting taken care of. So.
we'll make sure.
So somewhere in that $6 million,
we're going to cover. We're going to cover the door handle.
We'll carve it out.
Yeah.
Any questions for Frank? Very well. Good. Thank you, Frank. We'll move on to Highway Division. Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are in the process of preparing for the summer operations. We are servicing the equipment, converting some of the trucks, but not all of them, because this week, I'm hoping that it doesn't pan out the way it's been but it's the way the newscast is showing, and hopefully we'll have a good week. As of today, it's showing that we've used slightly less tonnage of salt compared to last year. But again, with the week coming, it takes my change. However, if you put a cumulative quantity for both the county and the state, we actually spend a little bit slightly more than what we did last year. And we are also continuing with all our general operations, which includes mowing, shouldering, culvert repairs, and brushing. And project updates, County Trunk Highway S and H. The county has already submitted the concurrent use application to the city. The city has to forward this document to FAA, but however, it will require a cover letter. They've done a draft of the cover letter, and it's under review at the BOA. It's taking a little bit longer than anticipated, but hopefully very soon we'll get the review comments and concurrence to move forward with it. On the Pike Trail project, it's going on schedule. I know when I was writing this report, I stated that by today they'll be starting the east side, but I just drove through the project. Just a little bit of boardwalk is left on the west side, which hopefully by the end of this week it should be completed, and then they'll start on the east side. This project is on schedule, and hopefully we're going to complete it, west weather dependent, complete it before Memorial Day. The Foxconn project, the county and Wisconsin Department of Transportation have tentatively agreed to a temporary jurisdictional transfer of County Trunk Highway, KR. This is to enable the DOT to construct KR. And the agreement will be presented for review and approval at a joint meeting of the Finance Administration and Public Works Committee on the 4th. The agreement is the result of a negotiations of months since it started sometime last year. The county was negotiating with the DOT, Racine County, BOA, you can name it. And it took a long time, and well, we went through the process, and thanks to the county exec for his due diligence, we made sure that we included all the concerns that were coming up from the local municipalities, particularly Somers, in regards to drainage and things like that. If everything works well, the county board will be approving authorization to sign this agreement on the 4th of July. You want to add something?
The 4th of April.
April.
The 4th of April.
We've been waiting for the governor would have a heart attack.
I thought it was done.
And add to this Foxconn project, also County Trunk Highway A and County Trunk Highway H. A from the Frontage Road, from the East Frontage Road to County Trunk Highway H. And County Trunk Highway H from A to KR will be reinforced in order to improve the structural integrity to support the anticipated truckloads that will be truckload for the Foxconn project and all the road projects in that area. As a matter of fact, because of the project, things are moving really fast. Last Friday, we were notified that they will be starting this week. I just got confirmation that they will start on Friday, and that will require some road closures, and they'll be hauling the materials from there to our pit, all the removals to our pit. So there'll be some night disturbance around the Twin Lake areas and Randall. We've done our best to give them heads up that there'll be traffic at night, and most of the closure will be at night. However, there will be some daytime closure when they will be replacing culverts at certain locations on H. On A, I'm still not sure whether there will be closure during the day, but we should anticipate it. Basically, that's all I have for my project.
Well, go ahead with your question.
Okay, so for A, it's closed on, the sign says closed on Friday, right? So is it like in the afternoon Friday, the morning Friday? Like, is it like what time at night?
Okay. Generally, we do not know the exact schedule, but we are hoping that when they say night walk, it usually starts around 8 p.m.
Okay.
If there will be any closure during the day, then it will be... could be any time during the day, but hopefully we are going to be avoiding commute hours. There are other traffics like bike traffic. They're also trying to accommodate them because some of the bikers, they use County Trunk Highway A. And so we've done a lot of connection between some of the bikers and the construction team so that the construction team can coordinate when they're riding through or and make sure they have access, and if they don't, then they will have to look for an alternative route.
So you'll be able to get through A at least sometime during?
Correct.
During, okay. And then for the Foxconn thing, trucks will be using that road a lot for construction, is that why?
Yes, it is anticipated that all truck traffic will be using A. We don't want them to use E because of the school, so we are trying to focus all the truck traffic on truck A. That's why they are reinforcing A.
Okay, yeah, because you guys just repaved that a few years ago.
Yeah, but 3 summers ago. Yes, but inspection shows that they need to reinforce it.
Okay, thank you.
Very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Comment and then two questions. First of all, upon reading the agreement that is going to be coming before this committee on the 4th, and then or shortly thereafter, I have to say I was really, really happy to see all the verbiage pertaining to stormwater runoff and the Kilbourne Ditch and, you know, the Pike River, and I'm glad everybody agrees that Sewer Pack and the experts need to, you know, pay extra special attention to this because, as we know, it all flows south. So I was very happy to see that. Questions regarding H and A. How do they intend to actually reinforce these roads? It's not going to be a full reconstruction, and then so are they just stacking crap on top? What are they doing?
Well, because of the FEMA layout in that area, it's in some locations you can't just add more thickness because you're increasing the height or the grade of the road, and that impacts their model as far as drainage in that area is concerned. So we try to maintain the same grade, and to maintain that grade, that means they'll have to remove and replace. Yeah, now, just like you said, the road was paved a few years ago, but we are talking about heavy-duty trucks and heavy loads. So based on the load that they're anticipating, the structural integrity of the road is not sufficient to support those loads. So in some cases, they'll be removing pavement and replacing them. In some cases, they'll just be resurfacing.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
And in some cases, they might make it a little bit wider to accommodate the white trucks.
Okay. Moving on to KR, and viewing some of the exhibits that show, you know, how the road's going to expand, which side of the road they're going to expand. It appears as if we are on our side, we don't have a lot in the way of right-of-way acquisition for that expansion, which I'm glad, because the amount of money that there is, not a lot, $1 million for right-of-way expansion just shouldn't cut it. But anyway, I drove a section west of Green Bay Road, between Green Bay Road and the first set of railroad tracks, and there's a paved bike path that is this part of the Pike River path? Did we install that with that nice, big, beautiful walking bridge that is now going to get
removed.
That's all going to stay?
Yes, all going to stay.
Because it looked like that was part of what needed to be acquired.
No.
Although the exhibits didn't really zoom very well.
Yeah, it doesn't give that.
So really on our side of KR, east of EA, there's really not a lot in the way of right-of-way acquisition that's taking place. It's all on the north side of the road?
Yeah, we would purposefully... we're trying, as a matter of fact, it was towards the end that we started realizing that we needed to give some concession in terms of right-of-way. Initially, we wanted everything on the north side, no right-of-way on the south side. Yeah, but, you know, you have to give and take. And there'll be some minor right-of-way acquisition compared to what is going to happen.
Well, realigning EA with 90th, I mean, that's going to be the biggest
one. Yes, that's one aspect, realigning that. And the fact that it's almost sometimes impossible to say there'll be no right-of-way on the south side because of the great intercepts, where you have to grade to match. For example, if you raise the road 3 feet, you need to take it slowly to take it, but sometimes it might go beyond where the right-of-way line is, and so you'll be forced to have maybe a TLE and sometime acquire property. So the county exec was very diligent to make sure that if we have to acquire a right-of-way, then we have no choice but to acquire the right-of-way. So if you notice, you see the right-of-way is really minimal on the county side.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it looks like, you know, a lot of the property owners on either side are going to get screwed. But if you recall, just east of the second set of railroad tracks, it looks like there's going to be like one main arterial inlet for like 4 or 5 properties. So it looks like they're going to limit the driveway access to KR?
No, the driveway access will not, well, I can't say that for now. Until we go right deep into the design, then we'll now know, because once you get the right grades, and then you see how it's impacting the driveway accesses. But one of the things we brought to the attention of the Department of Transportation was that all those who have access from the south side will need to get their access back on after the construction is all done. So it's left for the designer, the DOT consultant, design consultant, to figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah. However, is it going to be easy? I would say no, because it just depends on how high they're raising it and the fact that there's going to be a great change over the railroad. That already in itself is posing some challenges, but then again, that's the responsibility of the design consultant to figure out how those properties on the south side will have access on KR if they originally had access on KR.
They're already fairly close to the road, but it looked like in the exhibit that was in that packet that there was a design of a new inlet for 4 or 5 properties just east of the rail line, which struck me as if you're going to do that, you know, why just take the damn property? Because now you're adding a little frontage road that's going to be, you know, theoretically right outside their front door. But I guess we'll wait till the final design comes in. I am glad to hear that we're not losing that bike path and what looks like to be a very expensive bridge. I mean, that thing could be cheap.
Yeah, no. And for that section of KR, there'll be the bike path on KR from 31 to 56th Avenue will stay.
Now, the amount of lanes heading west of H, mm-hmm. Has that been reduced to 6, or is it still 8 to 10? Right?
No, well, east of H is going to be 4.
I mean, what, west of H? Outside
west of H, it keeps changing, but as per the last conceptual plan that we saw was 6.
Right. Okay, and I had heard that too, but it looked like in this exhibit, it still looked like it might have been 8 or 9.
Well, it keeps changing.
Okay.
And so we just had to show, and that's why I say that all what you're seeing is just conceptual.
Okay.
When the design is completed, then we're really going to know how it impacts and how many lanes are, what the impacts are on the right-of-way, that hopefully will be very minimal.
And at this stage, this, the H and A is only reinforcement. There's no plans for expansion or reconstruction at this time?
Not with this project, yes. If something changes in the future, then we'll take on that, so.
Not with this project, but are we making plans to?
We'll provide more information at the meeting. Okay. I don't want to get too far ahead.
Oh, you don't want to spoil the meeting.
Right. But I think if you saw in the summary that you guys got, I think today or already, that the state, we negotiated, so they're going to pay us $7.5 million, and we're kind of flexible in how we use that. So if the reinforcement they're doing to H&A now holds up better than anticipated, which I don't think it will because it's going to get the snot beat out of it, but that money, we've done the calculation, so that will allow us the ability to construct H from KR, where it's going to be four lanes going
north.
It would allow us the ability to do four lanes from KR south to A. Hmm. With a transition, so okay. it would allow that. So
interesting.
So we'll see. But
cool. Thanks.
Yes.
One more question.
Sure.
Maybe two.
Yes.
So the orange flags on A, is that going to be acquired, or is that like the road being expanded to, or
any flags that you see on A at this moment is basically for utility identification. Yes, no right-of-way is going to be acquired on A or on H south of KR.
Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Do we have a price on the asphalt for this paving season?
We just got the bids today. The prices are a little bit higher than what we had last year. It's about, it varies from $2 to $5.
So we can have for the next meeting, we'll have a full analysis.
Okay. Yeah. And it's anticipated to be slightly higher with all the works that are going on right now.
Yeah. Anything else for Clement? If not, thank you, Clement.
Sure.
Great.
So Brooks said, I think everybody's aware that we moved in the residents into the renovated space of the building on March 13th. Everything went pretty smooth according to plan. As rooms were vacated in the new addition that we constructed, we were doing, I'll say like a refresh of them, because they, in the year that we were in there, we kind of had predicted, that was because we had people double bunked, it was probably the equivalent of 3+ years worth of actual wear and tear on the building. Fully expected to replace 3 to 4 rooms of carpet. We are not having to replace any carpet. The carpet withstood the additional wear and tear that went on it, and we did a deep cleaning of it, and it looks great. It all looks like brand new again. They've touched up where walls got dinged up and other things. Made a couple changes of things. Everybody knows there's sliding barn doors for the bathrooms in the new addition. We re-engineered something that's going to make those last even better than how they were originally designed. We put that in place. So bottom line is we refreshed that. So all that, the entire rehab, 2 floors, as of today, should be done, all of those rooms there. The CBRF we're kind of picking away at. I don't think those will be done for another couple weeks. But they aren't going to start moving folks into that CBRF until, when is it?
Sometime in June.
In June. So they're working on marketing that right now. As I understand it, they've got some folks signed up. Bottom line, once we got everybody moved into their respective spaces, I still thought it was going to be about a 6 to 8 week time for staff and residents to kind of get used to everything. It was like 6 to 8 hours. Literally, I would constantly ask Fran, like days after they had moved in, and it was just, there was no learning curve. Because now we had taken that congestion, I don't think anybody realized how much that congestion really created stress at lunchtime, dinner time. You had twice the number of people in those spaces eating than what it was originally designed for. Now everybody's in space that was designed to accommodate. It is. It's a thing of beauty. It's just the stress level for everybody just dropped, and it's working out beyond, I think, anybody's original thought. It's working out really, really well. There's a few loose ends that remain. Probably the biggest one is that we're working the nurse call system, although it works, the manual aspect of it works very well. It's pretty much bulletproof. The cellular phone aspect of it, that is it's like the modern feature of the nurse call system, is still, bottom line is we're working out some bugs. There's some stuff on our end in terms of how we were using the system, and there's stuff on the manufacturer's end as well. So we're working through those issues. It's really the only, I'd say, significant issue that we've got to work through. Everything else is pretty well tied up. There's tentative plans. It's supposed to be firmed up this week, but if you want to put it on your calendar, in fact, I don't know if it was announced at the trustees meeting this afternoon, but May 15th is the tentative date for a ribbon cutting. And we'd have it basically, I think, similar to the same time when we had the groundbreaking a couple years ago, in the afternoon, like later in the afternoon, so folks could attend. That's being planned. We've got the only thing left to do next year will be the parking lot and entrance improvements are scheduled for next year. We've got roughly $20,000 to $30,000 left over in the project budget. But what we are planning on doing as part of the master carryover resolution that's going to go in a couple weeks to finance, we're planning to carry over somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 from other projects, just in case there's something that comes up that we don't anticipate right now in the next 6 months that needs to be done on the building. Like I say, I believe we got most all of the loose ends tied up. If we don't spend the money, we'll just carry it over towards the parking lot project next year. So we just thought it was a wise thing when Jim and I talked to do that, just in case something strange happens. That's pretty much it for Brookside. Over the next several weeks, we'll be getting bids back on a number of projects that should give us good insight into where construction costs are at this point. As you heard, some of the roofing stuff was pretty solid so far. Matt's got a parking lot project. We'll have some other minor. We had pretty good luck on the sheriff's project that Mike's running for installing the scanner. But as we get more data, it should shed light on exactly where things are going to be at for the rest of the year for construction costs. Let's see, the KR thing, everybody knows that we'll do that Wednesday night. There's a lot of work that went into that, but I think that it really put us in a real sound position to protect the community's best interest, both from a stormwater standpoint as well as a roads cost standpoint. We've still got some lean projects that we're working on and some supervisory and leadership development projects in public works. And then, like I said, on the carryover resolution will be going to finance on April 12th. It's not even finalized yet what's going to be in that, but there'll be some odds and ends that will carry over money. Stuff that wasn't finished will just get carried over for next year, and there's some other repurposing that will occur, but I don't think there's anything really significant or controversial that's going to be involved. And, yeah, as the chairman indicated, you know, congratulations to Matt on his new addition to the family. And I wanted to say, too, on behalf of the staff, that we really enjoyed working with the committee. I think we've gotten a lot done. Appreciate the trust you place in us, all of the guys. I think all our staff is top shelf, honest, intelligent, committed. They all work well together. And anytime you've got any questions or concerns about anything, you know, I hope you feel comfortable in us asking any of us. We try to be as open as possible. And I really appreciate the support we've gotten from the committee over the past couple of years. Thanks.
Thank you. Well then, yes?
I just wanted to say one thing. There's a guy in a green shirt over here who's been at a couple of our meetings. He is the Public Works' new fiscal manager. His name's Chris Walton. He's been at some of the meetings. The other fiscal manager we had, Mike Bond, left for Greener Pastures. He actually went to Mount Pleasant as their fiscal manager.
Oh, so, poor guy.
So
that was such a bad idea.
He's going to have a full plate.
Oh, my goodness.
He'll be a busy boy. So Chris has been around here for a couple of years. He's worked in our department, and he worked at a, he has finance experience at a bank before that. So
Well, I've seen this in there for at least a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you see him at the meetings, that's who he is. And I'm sure in a year or two he'll know much more than I do, which probably isn't saying a lot, but that's who Chris is, so you can go to him with anything you need to go to him with.
Anything else? Yes.
I just want to say, in case I don't see some of you at the next meeting, it's been a pleasure working with you on the committee, and it's been this meeting is something I look forward to every month. So I just want to say thank you for an enlightening experience in government. Yeah, thank you.
I have to say that this meeting I do look forward to. It's just true. It's only a 20-minute ride, which is nice. but always pleasurable. I guess we look for a motion to adjourn. Supervisor Grady, second. All those in favor, please.
Aye.